Good morning. This is NPR News. I'm Chris Farrell, in for Carrie Miller. A lot is happening in politics. Okay, that's an understatement. Looking back over the past several days, a number of issues stand out. Hiring and firings in the White House, the creation of a hawk cabinet when it comes to national security, uncertainty over trade policy, the marches for gun control in Washington, in St. Paul, and elsewhere. Hundreds of thousands in cities big and small showed up. It was an incredible moment that seemed to have momentum. The administration has announced this morning it will expel 60 Russian intelligence and diplomatic officers. Stormy Daniels. In other words, there is no shortage of topics to discuss with the political junkie, Ken Rudin. Before we bring him into the discussion, we want to hear your questions and thoughts. Call us at 651-227-6000, toll-free 800-242-2828. Online, you can tweet at CFarrellEcon. That's at CFarrellEcon. Ken joins us from Washington, D.C. Welcome, Ken.
Chris, what do you think? An hour on this conversation or 2 hours? What
are we we'll try to get as much done as we possibly can. But I cannot believe I am doing this. But I have to start out with the question, the Stormy Daniels interview on CBS. What impact will this have, if any, in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I mean, the impact is one thing. I mean, obviously, look, the American people knew about the Access Hollywood tape, and they still elected Donald Trump as president. So as far as being surprised or whether the Stormy Daniels interview hurts him with his base, that's probably not true. But there are legal questions here regarding campaign finance. You know, I was just thinking about how Al Capone went down not because of, you know, the murders and everything, but because of income tax evasion.
Right.
And so you just wonder if Stormy Daniels might be really about campaign finance. Somehow when I think of Stormy Daniels, I usually don't think of the FEC. But the point is that it has the possibility of being serious, bringing serious legal questions to the president.
So this involves the $130,000 payment through his lawyer,
which was apparently an illegal campaign contribution. The fact that if Michael Dowd said that, said that I was confusing John Dowd, the other attorney who quit, but Michael Cohen, who said he's paid the $130,000 out of his own pocket, was not reimbursed by the president, then this is an illegal campaign contribution, because I think you're only allowed $2,500 and $130,000 is much more. Look, nobody believes that Michael Cohen did this without any kind of influence from the Trump organization,
right,
the Trump campaign. Matter of fact, Stormy Daniels' attorneys showed letters that they sent to Michael Cohen, care of the Trump organization, Trump Industries. So nobody buys the fact that Trump was not involved in it, but the fact is they keep making that argument, and that just seems to legally at least get them in further hot water.
All right, now let's take a leap. So the Trump administration this morning said that it will expel 60 Russian intelligence and diplomatic officers in New York and Washington. It's also going to close the Russian consulate in Seattle. So this is all in retaliation, the poisoning of the former Russian spy in Britain. So this is a tougher stance than expected.
It is, and what's interesting is that when the president congratulated Vladimir Putin last week for his re-election victory, it was only 73% of the vote, or 78%, whatever it was. I mean, he congratulated him. He didn't mention anything about this thing or even the alleged Russian meddling. I mean, how many times is Trump going to talk to Putin and have to talk about, well, what about that meddling in the 2016 election? Obviously, the president is reticent about calling out Putin on anything. So the fact that he has called for the expulsion of these Russians from the country, as other countries have done, allies have done, is interesting. I don't know if it has anything to do with, look, I don't think it has anything to do with appeasing Mueller or appeasing public opinion, but it is something that he had not talked about doing in the past, and it is a surprising step, yes.
All right, now, clarify for us, Ken. Disarray in the White House or method to the madness? I mean, we had this, you know, Trump added the lawyer, Joseph DiGenova, Right. So he's been a fierce defender of the president on Fox News, and he added him to his legal team and also his wife, who's also a lawyer. Then they're no longer part of the Russian the legal team because they got some conflicts of interest. Now, stuff happens. It always happens. Of course it happens. So, you know, it's the White House, lots of stuff going on. But this seems to feed that narrative of confusion and chaos.
Well, yeah, the president loves responding to that. One of the things that the president is most predictable about with his tweets is that there is no chaos in the White House. It's part of the fake news. But the fact is that, look, when you have a president who is in some legal difficulty, who does not listen to his attorneys, that is a problem. When one of the reasons John Dowd quit is that, look, he's giving the president advice.
Right, he's the lawyer. He was the lead lawyer, right, for the probe.
Right, dealing with the Mueller investigation, exactly. Yeah. And he said over and over again, do not testify under oath with Mueller because the president, shall we say it, you know, quite delicately, but he has some trouble. He has shown some trouble with the truth, and Mueller is not going to let him get away with anything. So Dowd has said over and over again, do not consider meeting with Mueller under oath. And Donald Trump, who feels he can convince anybody about anything, including his own innocence, says, well, you know, I'm going to do it anyway. And Dowd says, well, why? If I have a client who thinks he's his own best lawyer, what am I doing? What am I wasting my time for? So he quit. And then Joseph DeGeneva, who is a Fox News favorite, who comes up with these conspiracy theories about how this is all part of an Obama, Hillary Clinton, you know, Herbert Hoover plot to destroy, I mean, whatever. I mean, it's just, sometimes it's just beyond belief. But he's a favorite of the Fox News crowd who feels there is a conspiracy out to, by the FBI, by the CIA, by anybody, to stop Donald Trump. That was the DeGeneva was known for. He was hired last Monday, and it turned out he left it. He quit on Sunday because of conflicts of interest or whatever it was. But look, Donald Trump is his own lawyer, and I think just like he's his own chief of staff and his own secretary of defense, I think the administration has, you know, I think come to realize that.
All right. So if you have a question for Ken Rudin, the political junkie, call us at 651-227-6000 or toll free at 800-242-2828. All right. So Rex Tillerson is out as Secretary of State. Mike Pompeo is in. Former National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster is out. John Bolton is in. Now, this is a much more hawkish group that is being created. And the Financial Times, I believe, used the headline, you know, war cabinet being formed.
Well, that's a fair criticism. I mean, between Mike Pompeo and John Bolton, Bolton has talked for years about bombing Iran and bombing North Korea, and it's a very aggressive foreign policy. Now, in fairness, look, if I was the president of the United States, I would want a national security advisor and a secretary of state who agrees with my views. I mean, Rex Tillerson was talking about diplomacy with North Korea when Donald Trump would tweet, "You're wasting your time, Rex." I mean, it's a complete waste of time. And we always talk about H.R. McMaster as one of the adults in the room, he being this national security advisor. And John Bolton, who's the former Bush ambassador to the UN, Bolton is a true hawk. I mean, he's really like, you know, he was Trump before Trump, or he was Reagan before Reagan. But the point is, Bolton has always been somebody of military aggression. And when it comes to North Korea and Iran, he just did not want to. He was never somebody who just would pussyfoot around, and Trump liked that. So he has two people in Bolton and Pompeo who agree with his foreign policy. Whether it's good for the rest of the world is another question, but it's certainly good for Donald Trump.
So, I mean, Bolton truly is aggressive. I mean, you know, there is a difference between being a columnist and you're trying to make some provocative statements and being, you know, the national security advisor. But it wasn't that long ago where he said in an op-ed piece, time is terribly short, but a strike can still succeed, when he's talking about Iran. And North Korea said it's perfectly legitimate for the United States to respond to the current necessity posed by North Korea's nuclear weapons by striking first. I mean, these are the kinds of statements that are bringing a lot of people up short.
Yeah, I kind of think the word I'm looking for right now is madness. I mean, the fact is, we're talking about war and nuclear weapons with such casualness that it's just, it's just
right.
We go from casualness to casualties because we're talking about untold and unknown horrors that could, you know, when we're dealing with Kim Il-jung, you know, Kim Jong-il in North Korea. I mean, he is not by any stretch of the imagination thought to be a normal thinking person. I mean, we talk about wild things that he's talked about with missiles and destroying people and nuclear annihilation. These are casual conversations. These are somehow become casual conversations when we're talking about untold destruction, and the lack of seriousness in these conversations is just startling. One thing we haven't talked about, it's not a big deal, but we're talking about upheaval in the administration. David Shulkin, who's the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, he may be gone this week. There are a lot of accusations about spending abuses. You know, he brought his wife around along with him on trips to Europe and tried to cover up the expenses. He accepted Wimbledon tickets. I mean, in the scheme of things, we're not talking about World War III, but Shulkin may be the latest cabinet person to be dismissed this week.
So, Ken, let's take a call from Audrey in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing? So what's your question for Ken?
Yeah, my question is, John Bolton is going to be named as the National Security Advisor, but he also could possibly be under investigation because of his connection to Cambridge Analytica, Bob Mercer, and the Facebook data breach. He was getting a lot of money for a super PAC from Bob Mercer, and then he was turning around and putting it back into Cambridge Analytica. And now, of course, that has opened up a whole new ball of worms. And I'm just wondering, if he's under this kind of scrutiny, can he be denied security clearance, kind of like Jared?
Yeah, that's a good question. What do you think,
Ken?
Well,
that is a good question. I mean, obviously, you don't need a Senate confirmation to be National Security Advisor, but there's obviously questions. If there is the Cambridge Analytica, which is a serious investigation, I don't know if everybody associated with that group is under investigation, so I don't know if Bolton. But it's just like the woman who's now been nominated to be the next CIA director. She has past experience with questionable surveillance tactics of suspected people involved in, you know, obviously with torture and things like that. So there are a lot of questions about Bolton and others in the administration that need to be. I don't know if he's under investigation, but there are questionable activities and questionable associations that could doom him. Although I'm not convinced that it goes that far.
Right. So, okay. Let's shift to the marches on Washington, D.C., here in St. Paul, Minnesota, you know, hundreds of cities around the country, you know, the young people marching, the families. It was really impressive. One of the things that's really struck me is the lack of willingness of Republicans or people who are defending, you know, arguing against gun control to engage with the young people. Is that what do you think?
Yeah. Well, look, the Republicans are on the defensive on guns. They hadn't been in the past. People who use guns as an issue to go to the voting booth, it's usually the pro-gun, the pro-gun rights folks are more energized when it goes to voting than the pro-gun control people. But that obviously seems to have changed in the wake of what happened in Parkland, the fact that all these young people around the country, especially what we saw Saturday in Washington, are trying to make a serious issue of this. Now, I mean, there are so many questions about it. Do I think it could be like Vietnam? I think of the 500,000 people marching down Fifth Avenue in New York City in 1967 about the war in Vietnam. Of course, the war still went on for another 6 years.
Right.
But it's rallies like this. It's like the Vietnam rally. It's like the Women's March in January of 2017. That shows that the American people are just tired and just, you know, enough is enough. But having said that, we still don't know if these young voters, these young organizers will sustain this emotion, although they show every indication of doing so. And we still want to see how the NRA will respond, because they still have tons of money. They have tons of ways of mobilizing their supporters. I mean, right now, the momentum is on the anti-gun or the gun control people.
Right.
And we did see in Florida legislation that was signed by a pro-gun governor, Rick Scott, that seemed to have put some minor restrictions on guns. But what, I think the big issue is, the big thing to watch is what happens in November. Will this be a defining issue when Democrats are trying to regain control of Congress?
Well, we will be watching that. And thank you very much for your time. This has been we haven't even talked about Facebook that much. We got to end the the antitrust fight that's going on in Washington, D.C. with AT&T. But that's going to have to be for another time.
And the spending bill. But you know something? Once again, there's not much for us to talk about, Chris. And
I know.
It's sad. I wish we had
but
more.
But you do a good job of just sort of filling the time. Thank you very much.
Somebody's got to talk about it. Thanks, Chris.